Since we're in a book of mysteries, which is Revelations, there's a poem here that says, in this present time, we are given presents of mysteries and rhymes. They are presents. They're gifts that can't be seen by the human eye. Each and every day, they can pass you by. But now the Lord wants us to see the glorious new creation he's empowered us to be. Now the only way to receive these gifts is to open up your heart and mind to make the shift. And as you focus your eye on me, it will put into motion a new clarity. And the only way to get this done is to put your attention and focus on my son. For in him, you will see all the attributes that I've called you to be. So continue to receive my grace as you continue to run the race. And fear not, for I will be your strength to help you maintain the pace, and you will surely come to see me face to face.
Amen.
That was the little poem that the Lord gave me. And I was just thinking about a prayer. You know, traditionally, we all meet in a Sunday school room, and we can't do that now. And the Lord was saying to me that we're in an hour where a lot of old traditions are going to be broken, and that we're going to be moving into a new thing. It's a new season that we're moving into, and the old traditions are going to be phasing out behind us.
Amen.
And God wants us all to enter into a life in the Spirit. The building of brick and mortars, that's nothing. We're all living stones fitly formed together by the Master's hand. And for you, the Lord knew about the pandemic. He said, that's the reason why I created the internet for you.
Amen.
He knew that we wouldn't be together on this day. But he's in all the ages, even before we get there. And the Lord was just saying, even as I prepared the internet for you, knowing that you couldn't be in the building, I've also gone into the days ahead, into your life, and into the generations. And I've made all preparation, too, to bring you all forth to completion. So, praise God. He's in control.
Amen. Amen. That was good. Anybody else have any, before we get started, anybody else have anything that the Lord's been dealing with you about that you'd like to share?
I'm not live with anybody. Though.
No?
Yeah. The only thing, can you hear me?
Yes, we
can. Can you hear me?
Yes.
The only thing that when I was praying one morning, I shared it with also my brother Oscar, how God was speaking about us praising him and worshiping him through this entire thing, because when the armies came up against Jehoshaphat, they stood up and praised, and God sent the praises out before them, and that we didn't have to worry about the pestilence or anything, because the battle is not ours, it's his. We are to praise him through them, worship him, because it's acknowledging him and him being in control. So that's what God was showing us, and we were sharing with Brother Oscar when we were talking to him.
Amen.
We've been spending time praising him, worshiping him, looking to him, and knowing that all things are in his hands and going to work out for our good and his glory.
That's right. Well, I just praise God for my prayers and thoughts go out to these families that have lost people or have suffered through this, but thank God that he's protected us, you know. And we're here and we're healthy, and praise the Lord for that. And we just pray for all those in need.
Hey, amen.
Big Debbie Morgan's joining us. Clyde and Debbie.
She's got her microphone muted.
Hey.
Praise the Lord.
Debbie, can you hear us? I'm
muted. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Deb.
Hey, Deb.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
I think Margaret and Oscar's jumping in. There's Oscar. Hey, Oscar.
Hey, Oscar. He's waiting
to connect to the audio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Oscar.
Hello.
Good morning.
How y'all doing this morning?
That's Arnold.
Go, just click there.
Remember he bought it? Then Arnold Hutch.
Audio settings.
Okay, we're going to turn up our audio here because we can hear you better. Okay, praise the Lord. And we're going to try this out and see where we go from here. And is Clyde on?
No, I'm going to go get him though.
Okay, good.
Where's Margaret, Oscar?
Working as you always. You can't sit that girl down. She.
Sorry.
Here she comes. Say hello.
Hey, Margaret.
Hi, Easter.
Sit down.
Happy
here.
Easter to you too.
She actually showed us her hand. I was.
Yes.
Yeah, I've tried to get her to get on the radio and she won't do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so praise the Lord. Let's delve into Revelation 5. We had pretty well gone through 4, so I just thought it, you know, new situation with this Zoom and new everything. We're going to just start a new chapter. So, as you know, in Revelation 5, you know, we're going to start getting into some stuff that, you know, has a lot of different interpretations throughout the Christian community, but we're going to just continue along the lines that we've been doing. So just to kind of lay a little foundation here.
Turn that light off a second.
You know,
there you go.
Coming up in the future chapters.
That's good.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
The future chapters, we're going to be talking this chapter about the seven seals, and then the seventh seal opens up the seven trumpets, and then after the seven trumpets, then you have the seven bowls or vials, whatever you want to call it. And you know, I just wanted to give you some idea of what the there's 4 different ways to look at Revelation, and so we're not going to sit here and by the way, I'm recording this, so, you know, for future, if anybody needs it. But anyway, the thing that I wanted to just kind of quickly go over is that there are 4 different, probably a lot more than 4, but there are 4 that they talk about: the preterist, the historist, the idealist, and the futurist. So just quickly, I'm going to give you a real quick definition. The preterist refers almost exclusively to first century events. The historists view the book as referring to the unfolding of church history until Christ's second coming. The idealists see the book as symbolizing the eternal conflict between good and evil. The futurists see the book as mainly about end times. So just to give you a history, you know, you may run into someone that's a futurist, you may run into someone, whatever. I don't like titles, but at least we know where a lot of people are coming from, but we're going to come from the way we've been coming from and just through the book of Revelation. And we're going to talk in later studies, we're going to talk more detail on the seals and the trumpets and the vials. We're just going to kind of go through the first 5 verses of chapter 5 today. You know, and we're going to talk about in with the seals. You know, there's white horse. In the first seal, there's a white horse. And then you have the red horse, and then you have the black horse, and then you have the pale horse, and all this death and destruction and all this. You know, I love the Bill Britton book, or not Bill Britton, but Ray Prenzing book, that the Book of Revelation is a good book. You know, it's not what a lot of people think. So before we read the first 5 verses of Revelation 5, I just want to say that the very, very first thing, someone else is coming on here. The very, very, very first seal is a white horse. And what does the white horse, what's the purpose of the white horse? Anybody know?
Righteousness.
Came to conquer. So guess what? If the first horse is doing all the conquering, what is that? What is the first horse, the rider of the first horse conquering? Well, guess what? Jesus said that he's overcome the world, hasn't he? And so the conquering is basically his job, not ours. That's what grace is all about. So, okay, Revelation 5. I'm going to share my screen. If someone would like to read that, that would be good. Let me see. Okay, here we go. So let's, if someone would jump in there and read that, it's Revelation 5 through verse 1 to verse 5. Someone want to read that?
I got it, Rich.
Huh?
I got it.
Okay, Mike.
I saw it in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, a scroll written on the inside and on the back, closed and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel announcing with a loud voice, "Who is worthy, having the authority and virtue, to open the scroll and to break its seals?" And no one in heaven or earth or under earth, in Hades, the realm of the dead, was able to open the scroll or look into it. And I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. Then one of the 24 elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Look closely. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, is overcome and conquered. He can open the scroll and break its seven seals." Seals, it says, G4973. I guess that's the definition of strong. Which thing is confirmed, proved, authenticated.
Yeah, that's the Strong's definition of seals. And I thought that was interesting. I'm going to just kind of give you my take on this, what I feel like the Lord was sharing. Then I'd love to hear from you as far as what your thoughts are. Like Mike said, the word seals in the Strong's is the Greek word 4973, and it's that by which is anything is confirmed, proven, or authenticated. I think the seals basically are part and parcel, part of Jesus's work on the cross, then when he said it is finished. I think this is a confirmation of that, and you'll see here, you know, where that fits in. But I also thought it was interesting that the scroll, we'll call, if you hear it called the book, the scroll, the letter, whatever, it's all synonymous. It's all the same thing. And I thought it was interesting that the scroll was written on the inside and on the back. And this means that the scroll was very unusual. It wasn't a typical scroll. It wasn't common practice to write on both sides of the scroll. This means that whatever information was on this scroll, there was a lot of it, almost more than a scroll can contain. And there are a lot of theories that see the scroll as far as meaning in different ways. Some see it as God's will, as final settlement of affairs of the universe, which was a Scottish theologian named Barclay. And by the way, this guy, it's interesting. I read up on him a little bit, and he was considered a heretic. One of the main things he professed was ultimate reconciliation. So, and that was hundreds of years ago. Anyway, this is based on the idea that customarily under Roman law, wills were sealed with seven seals, each from a witness to the validity of the will. Some believe that this describes cataclysmic events that will end this world as we know it. And you know, whenever until now, you know, whenever you heard the word apocalyptic or apocalypse or whatever, you had all these ideas that when you tell someone out on the street, you know, that, you know, what does the word apocalyptic mean? They're going to have all kinds of ideas, but the actual word itself, first of all, the word does not appear in Revelation. Isn't that interesting? The word is apocalypto, and it means to uncover. It means to reveal what has been hidden or to lift the veil. And isn't that the whole purpose of the book of Revelation, is the revelation of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
So I'll just read this. It's in Matthew. It's the exact same word. Like I said, the word apocalypto is not in the book of Revelation, but it is in Matthew 6:17, and it's the exact same word as what we're going to see here. Jesus asked Peter who he was to him, and Peter said, "You are the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal," that word reveal is apocalypto, "this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Same word is revealed. And almost every word throughout the Bible, I think it's only in there, you know, maybe 20 times, if that, it's reveal or revealed. Same word. Okay, here's my take on this, as a just kind of laying the groundwork for the rest of this chapter. This is how I feel the Lord shared it with me. We are living epistles, right?
Yeah. Amen.
Okay, living books, scrolls, letters, again, they're all synonymous. And our letter is sealed by God. This, you know, when we're born, we've got this little book or letter or whatever that's got seven seals on it when we were born in this world, and only one can open that book. So until we have that spiritual awakening, our book is going to remain sealed. As the Father draws us, like in John 6:33, Jesus comes to open those seals in us, and our book begins to reveal our true identity and who we are in Christ. The messianic title of Lion of the Tribe of Judah and Root of David, here's some scriptures you can do on your own, but this was, you know, this goes way back, I mean, to Genesis. Let's see, we've removed the 40 minute time. Okay.
Yeah.
So removed the 40 minutes. So yeah. We'll go until the Lord says it's time. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The messianic title there and the root of David is all, you know, you've seen it. We've talked about it before. So, but there's some scriptures if you want to look them up. Before he opens the seals in our book, we remain in this false identity and in a lower dimension in an earthly realm where we're basically stuck there. There are seven seals that need to be opened from our book. Seven is the number for completion and perfection. When all seven seals are open, I said this, and you understand what I'm saying. I said the work's been completed in us. You know, you still have the trumpets and the vials, but I think you understand what I'm saying here, is that the more seals that are open, you know, each seal manifests more of him in us.
Yes, the higher our consciousness goes.
There you go. Yeah. The higher the consciousness, and you start entering into that heavenly realm and get out of that earthly lower dimension realm. Each seal manifests more of him in us. Yes, there's death and destruction when some of the seals are open. His death was our death. And the consuming fire of God will destroy all the hay, wood, and stubble that to be destroyed anyway. There are things in us and in the spheres of influences in the world that need to go away. So let's face it, when Jesus is the one opening the seals, there's always going to be ultimate victory. He is our victory, and as he is, so are we. So we are victorious, just like the song that I know Mike loves, "We Are Victorious." we will overcome. 2 Corinthians 3:3-5, and then I'm going to open this up to others. It says, I really like this because it's in, I think, in the message, but it says, your very lives are a letter that anyone can read by just looking at you. Christ himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living spirit, not chiseled in stone, but carved into human lives. And this is really good. And we publish it. We couldn't be more sure of ourselves in this, that you, written by Christ himself for God, are our letter of recommendation. We wouldn't think of writing this letter about ourselves. Only God can write such a letter. His letter authorizes us to help carry out this new plan of action. So let's talk about it. Hey, Clyde.
Hi, Rich. How you doing?
Doing well.
Clyde. Hey, Debbie.
Who's down at Galaxy J3? Who's down here?
That's me.
Oh, you're there. Okay. Cool. Just wanted to acknowledge that Galaxy J3 person. So
that's Mark.
Huh?
It's Mark.
Mark. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
We can't see your picture, Mark.
You don't need to see me. I look the same. Didn't do my hair.
My hair.
Clyde, I see you didn't do your hair today either.
Same as always, man.
Going back to what you said, the first part about the white horse. White speaks about light, so that he's riding the horse of light to open us up to understand what he's doing.
Yes.
And when you talked about the seals, the seven seals, you know, scripture says that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Yeah.
And that's being stamped with a signet ring also, which is a sign of authority and a sign of approval, because anytime God stamps us with a sign of with his signet ring, we've been stamped with authority. And you know, those seals have to be opened in each one of our lives. You said that we were epistles read and known of men, and he has to open that epistle in you up. You can't open it yourself. He has to open it.
That's right.
And as he opens it, then we can begin to speak the revelation that God gives us. You know, a lot of times, a lot of people try to walk in revelation, but they're walking in somebody else's revelation.
Yes.
You have to walk. You can only walk in the revelation God gives you. And, you know, as he opens the seals in each one of our lives, we'll find as you go through all them different horses, they all have different colors. And those different colors are significant of different things, you know. But you know, I was just thinking when you said he went, why, you know, why was he riding a white horse? Well, because white signifies light. He was riding a horse of light, which is understanding, opening that he is the light, and he's the light that lights every man that comes into the world. But men, it says in scripture, men like to walk about in darkness, you know. They don't come to the light. And, you know, but that light's going to break forth. The day's going to dawn. It's going to break forth in all the hearts of men. And
Amen.
They're going to come to that realization of what God is really in their life, that he is their very life, you know.
Amen. Hey, Jim, that's exactly, you know, that's beautiful. Anyway, Jim, read that poem again that you read before everybody got on.
Hold on one second.
All right. Anybody else while he's getting ready? Anybody, any other thoughts?
Yeah, I liked what Oscar said before. I think it was Oscar, about the white horse is conquering and that Jesus overcame the world. And it reminded me of something that Debbie Morgan said one time in Sunday school that I just love. Jesus came to conquering and to conquer. He has conquered, he is conquering, and he will yet conquer completely.
Until there's nothing left to conquer, right?
That's right.
Amen.
Till every knee bows.
Amen. Isn't it great that he does all the work?
Amen.
I mean, if we let him, you know, sometimes we want to jump in there and try to do the work. And wow, he's set it all up for us. I mean, all we have to do is walk this thing out, and it's going to come out exactly the way he wants it. And we're going to look back and say, wow, he did. And we just had to just go along with it. And
yeah,
that's the easy part.
And there's something even more that he's been dealing with me a lot about lately. Not only is it going to happen, in reality, it has all happened already. Before
right.
the foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. And we are just walking through on our level in the time frame what mm-hmm. God has already completed. It's already done.
Yep.
You know, Rich.
Jim, you got it?
Yeah, I got that one poem, but I stumbled across another one that fits just as good, if not better than the other one. You want me to read the one I read first?
Read them both.
Okay, well, here's the other one I spotted that I kind of feel encouraged to read. And it says, the progress of the Lord is working in this day to bring about his sons in a grand and glorious array. As his sons stand on the summit and survey the scene, their eyes are having a hard time believing their true being. Because the Father has not revealed all his finished work in this hour, but his sons now stand breathless to see what the Father has inspired. The harvest in God's sons are ripening in this hour to bring forth his Father's glory and his awesome power. So stand fast, my sons, and observe this new day, for the Father's glory and power are now headed your way.
Amen. Amen.
Now, the one I read initially with the prayer, Rich, went like this. In the realm of present time, we are given presents of mysteries and rhymes. They are presents that can't be seen by the human eye. Each and every day, we can pass them by. But now the Lord wants us to see the glorious new creation he's empowered us to be.
Yes.
Now, the only way to receive these gifts is to open up your heart and mind to make the shift. And as you focus your eye on me, and that eye is the eye of your being, as you know, like Paul said, it's not I that no longer liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. But as you focus mm-hmm. your eye on me, it will put into motion a new clarity. And the only way to get this done is to put your attention and your focus on my son. For in him you will see the attributes I've called you to be. So continue to receive my grace as you continue to run the race. And fear not, for I will be your strength to help you maintain the pace, and you will surely come to see me face to face.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, that's good. Oh, praise the Lord. That's good. Very good.
Praise the Lord. Who it is who we have on the iPhone down there?
Marge. You talking to us, Rich?
Yeah, there's an iPhone that just came on, and I was wondering who that is.
I don't know. We're holding two. I'm holding one.
It's somebody.
Oh, somebody new came.
Does anybody else see the iPhone?
Yeah.
Yes.
We can see it, but we can't see who it is.
Who are you?
Where? You talking about in the corner?
Yeah, the corner. Bob.
That
is locked in.
Yeah, it's turned around. It's really us. There's something on here, and the thing's no. turned around.
No, there's another one.
I'm not messing with them. Oh, is there? Does it show people?
Runner, but I don't. There's a new person on the iPhone. Unless it's Jim's.
There's a secret agent that snuck in.
It's the Lord.
Be blessed, whoever you are.
Whoever you are, chime in anytime.
It's free.
Thanks for showing up. Okay.
So, buddy.
What else about that scripture, what else about that scripture got your attention? What, you know, just those five verses, we're not going to get ahead of ourselves, but just those five verses, what else got your attention there? Let me put them back up. Okay, let's go back up. Okay, so right there. Why is this thing doing this? There we go. Okay, so anything jump out at you there as far as these five scriptures? I thought it was interesting that it says, that John says that I saw in the right hand.
Yeah, me too, Rich.
You know, when you see the right hand or you talk to about the right hand of God, what does that mean? We know what it means, right? What's it mean?
Pleasure forevermore.
Yep.
The authority also.
The authority, the pleasure, blessings. We know the left hand is more along the lines of the correction, right? Mm-hmm. So if it's in his right hand, you know,
blessings.
Yeah, I mean, if it's in his right hand, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People want to make this book out to be such a, you know, oh, this is God's. I mean, how many times during this pandemic have you heard someone say or read somewhere that, well, God's getting back at the world, you know, God's wrath is coming down and, oh, you know, get ready for that rapture. It's coming, you know, and all this. And it's like, man, that's not what it says.
I'm fine, huh? It's just like you all.
And it's interesting, we're in this time right now because, you know, it really gives us an understanding of the grace of God, really, as far as I'm concerned. I looked at this whole thing, I went, wow, how awesome is God's grace?
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so anybody else see anything else? We don't know who the strong angel is. You know, it's I don't think it's that important. I mean, some say it's Gabriel, some say it's Michael, whatever, but you know, the bottom line is who they're talking about, who the announcing announcing about, and that is Jesus, that there's only one that's worthy to break its seals. Now, one thing I found really interesting is how many times we've heard the word Hades meaning hell, right?
Yes.
Well, Hades means the realm of dead, of the dead. It does not mean what a lot of people are saying that it means. And it's right here. I don't know if this is the Amplified. I think it's the Amplified, yeah. So it says, and no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth, you know, was able to open the scroll or look into it. I like where it says God will reconcile all things to himself. Things
Amen.
On earth, heaven. I mean, he basically, they're saying the same thing as it said here. Everywhere, everything is going to be reconciled to the Lord. So, anybody else have anything else on those first five verses?
Well, I like that it talks about the Lion of the Tribe of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's going to break every band, and he's going to give to us, like the song we sing sometimes, the victory again and again and again.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, when you realize that the world called Satan, it said that he goes about as a roaring lion, mm-hmm. and people want to give the satanic forces power, and they have no power. They only have the power that you give to them.
Yes. You know?
And, you know, he goes about as a roaring lion, and you know, I don't worry about the, if I'm out in the bushes, I don't worry about the roaring lion because I know where he is. The one that you don't hear, because that's the one that's going to sneak up on you, so to speak. But you know, the neat thing is that he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the lion of the tribe of praise. And if we will just but praise him, he's going to give to us victory again and again and again. He's going to prevail in any situation, in any circumstance. You know, we're in the midst of this corona thing, and you know, a lot of people are worried and scared they're going to get sick and a lot of different things. And you know what? He's that lion of the tribe. He's going to prevail. If you trust in him, he is the king. He is the king of all kings. And you know, we're called to be kings and priests unto God, but yet he's the king of kings. And he has all authority, all rule, all power, you know. So if we trust in him, we don't have to worry about these things. He's going to take care of us. I mean, we don't need to be foolish. We don't need to go out and run in the crowds and stuff. But yet, we still need to realize that he's the one that's got us in the palm of his hand, and we're okay, and we're going to be okay.
Amen.
Well, too, Oscar, to piggyback on that, you know, this whole thing's invoked fear, so we just have to trust in God and not live in fear right now.
Well, he is love, and perfect love casts out all fear. Right. And as long as we walk in that love of God, we don't have to fear, you know. I mean, you know, it'll cast the fear out of your life. There's nothing to fear. It's like that old, that, what was it, Winston Churchill or whoever it was, said there's nothing to fear but fear itself, you know. And that's really what it mounts out to. You know, in the spirit realm, we don't have to fear the things that are around us. We know God's in control. He's got us in the palm of his hand. And he said, no man can snatch you out of my hand, you know. And when we realize that, we know that he's going to prevail in all situations and circumstances.
Yes.
Hey, Randy. Are you
talking about the white horse?
Hey, Randy.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Deb.
Oscar was talking about the white horse signifying light. And all week, this week, the Lord has been dealing with me, bringing to me this scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal way of glory.
Yes, amen.
And starting at 15, let me read this. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is living day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And it's like everybody thinks that their situation is the worst. And when, Lord, are you going to end this? You know? And we're in it to establish that exceeding weight of glory.
Amen.
And so to fight against it is to fight against the hand of God.
Amen.
I think. Not that you should accept every ill thing that comes upon you, but God is in everything. I'm sorry.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
good. There's a scripture that says all things were made by him and for him, and without him was nothing made. We've heard this question a lot in our sanctuary over 40 years. What is all? All is all.
That's right.
You know, Rich, I was thinking about what you said before about the, you know, being written on the outside of the scroll and the underside of the scroll. And you know, what I was thinking about in that is that even back in Noah's day when he was told to build that ark and he was told to pitch it without and to pitch it within. And when he pitched it within, that word for pitch there literally is the word that means atonement. And the other word, it's a different word on pitching it without. But you know, his word has to not only be on the outside of us quoting it, it has to mm-hmm. be on the inside. Mm-hmm. Because his word is eternal and it will change us, and it will cause us to become that word as we understand it and move into it, you know. And we have to realize that he's in, you know, that scripture in Isaiah where he says, little by little, he's changing me line upon line, precept mm-hmm. upon precept, you know, and it's here a little and there a little. And it's a gradual thing, but God's changing us into that very image of himself when we come mm-hmm. to the realization of who and what we are in Christ, you know.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. You guys are all being awful quiet today.
So anybody else? I only have one more thing, and then unless you all have something. Hey, Rand.
Hey, hey.
Hey, you got anything to share?
You know, there's a...
Nothing like putting you on the spot, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And I can only tell you that, you know, I'm alone for the duration of this thing. My wife is in New York.
Oh.
So she went to a hospital up there for a 21-day stay in Brooklyn at one of the worst hospitals there is. And she's at a place called Kings County Hospital. And, you know, just to let you guys know that her first day was really traumatic up there.
Is she a nurse or a doctor?
Well, my wife is a nurse practitioner.
Okay.
But somehow or another, the guy that she took a job with decided to lay her off. And this doctor owned like 17 of these urgent cares. And when this whole thing hit, his business dropped off dramatically. And he actually closed 8 of these urgent cares. They were only seeing like 1 or 2 people a day.
Jeez.
And so he laid off 9 nurse practitioners. And, you know, my wife was one of them because she's one of the last ones hired. Mm-hmm. And so this opportunity presented itself for her to go to New York and work directly with these COVID-19 patients.
Yeah.
And you know, she's dramatically struggling up there, and you know, to you know, make a, I don't want to go into a lot of detail, you know, they are seeing the work up there.
Yes, they
are. It's real hard on her. With that being said, you know, I can't help but praise his name. You know, I really believe that, yeah, there is no doubt about the fact that my wife changed. She comes. What's really is I don't feel alone. Mm-hmm. I've really not had this moment of loneliness being in my house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't help but give him all praise and glory.
Yeah, amen.
For these moments that I'm living through, and you know, I stand back and realize just how blessed I truly am. Okay. I've got nothing to praise for our Father in heaven. And you know, I've also really learned what the scripture means when it talks about the fact that we need to gather together as a body mm-hmm. for the edification of the body. Mm-hmm. It has come to mean so much more to me. You know, at one time when I was between churches, I literally just did not have this real desire to go get involved with another church. So when Jim called, and Jim, I thank you so much, my brother. You know, when you called and asked me to come visit, you know, I really truly feel planted where I'm at. So
good.
I just want to tell you guys that I truly miss you. But I really do feel a real comfort in my spirit. Being alone hasn't been what I thought it was going to be. And I just want to tell you that, you know, if we get the opportunity to do this more, oh, I can't wait to be a part of it, you know. I saw this come through on my email today, and I went, good grief, how did I miss that? You know? So joining you late, you know, I still feel extremely connected.
I recorded it, so I'll send it to you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I really want to say, you know, God bless you all. Yeah. Hang in. This too will pass.
Yeah.
Jim, it's good to see you, man.
Yeah. Same here, bud.
I bet you it's good to be seen, ain't it?
Oscar, would you please pray for Randy's wife and him and everybody else? Any whatever's on your heart, please.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think we should pray for Randy's wife. You know.
Yes. Yes. So
let's go to prayer right now, Father. In the name of Jesus, we lift Randy's wife to you, Father. We ask you to put a hedge of protection around her, and Father, she's just doing your will. She's up there trying to minister to people that need her physically, and Father, just let bless her abundantly spiritually, and Father, just let Randy just feel the comfort and know that you've got her in the palm of your hand. And then, Father, I thank you that even he was willing to allow his wife to go into such a bad situation in the natural. But we know also, Lord, that you're in control of it all. We give you all praise and all glory and all honor.
Yes.
Let your anointing just rest upon her. And Father, as her hands minister to people up there, let it be your hands ministering. And let them feel the love of God flowing out of her. And we'll be most careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, because you alone are worthy.
And yes.
Thank you, Father, that there are nurses and doctors out there who are willing to sacrifice even their own health to help other people. And I just pray a special prayer on all of them, Father, that you just keep them safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Tell her thank you for her service, Randy.
Yeah, wonderful.
Oh, I surely will.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Okay, I got one little thing that I would finish up with before I do that. Does anybody else have anything at all? We see Jim twice. Hey, Jim. Are you before our eyes here?
Hey, I want to thank Rich, you know, for by his faith bringing the church together. It's really been a time of refreshing, and kind of felt like we get out from beyond these four walls. And I guess that's by the Spirit. You know, we get out of the flesh, we get out and start soaring in the Lord. But I want to thank you, Rich and Julie, for being used to the Lord here this morning. We really appreciate you guys and love you guys. Lord loves you guys greatly.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank our pastor for he prompted this, so thank you, Oscar.
Oh, you're welcome, buddy. Appreciate you so much.
And we love all you guys so much, and can't wait to get back together with you and give you a big holy hug.
What are you doing tonight? We'll be over.
Things like shaking hands and hugging are now over. Well, you know. Once we get the green light, I'm going to continue back hugging and shaking hands and whatever. You know?
Amen. Amen.
I'm also going to use the wisdom that God's given me to stay away from, you know. So just keep your distance here. Stay safe. Anybody else have anything else before I do this last thing?
Hey Rich. We're going to have dinner with Joey and Mark and Clyde and Debbie via
Zoom.
Oh, I'll be there. That's dinner to us all. And then we're going to Zoom and eat together.
Good idea.
Hey, Mark, tell Joey we said hey.
She's here.
Oh, she's here. Hey, Joey.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hey, Joey and Mark, how are all the kids getting along?
Getting along, you mean like in the house?
Like, yeah.
Like all brothers do.
No big fights or nothing.
No, she said like brothers do.
How's the warden doing?
I'm doing all right. Hey, Jesse also is taking care of
Ann Lauren.
Yeah, Ann Lauren are both working in hospitals where they're taking care of these patients too. So.
Well,
Jesse works in the
pulmonary
unit, so she's definitely dealing with these people where they need help the most.
Yeah, that respiratory part of it is pretty severe at times.
Remember Jesse too.
No.
Isn't it Jesse?
Jesse and Lauren.
Jamie. She's they're gonna induce her tomorrow, I think.
Jamie.
Jamie.
And remember she has to go for a COVID-19 test today. So just her prayers for
Yes. And then the baby's supposed to have surgery as soon as he's born.
Yeah. He's got to go to children's.
Yeah. He
What's
has to
going
go.
On with the baby, Margaret?
It's a heart issue.
It's amazing stuff they can do anymore.
That's true.
Unbelievable.
Hey, Joey.
Yeah.
Would you pray, please?
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
For this day, and thank you for reminding us that you are risen and you're in control.
Yes.
And we love you and praise you and give you all honor and glory. And we just thank you for being our Savior, Father. And just ask that you keep your hand on all of our family and friends. And just bless our church, Father, in your name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else? Okay.
Glad to see everybody. Glad to see everyone.
Oh, yeah. Glad to see everybody.
Love you.
The last thing I have, I'm going to throw it up here. It's kind of, it just came to me as I was doing a lot of reading and whatever, and I thought, well, this is kind of interesting. So I'm going to throw it up on the screen here. And, you know, we were talking earlier about being, you know, in that mistaken identity, we were in the lower realm, we were in a lower dimension, and there's a lot of talk now, let me get it up here, and there's a lot of talk now on a vibrational frequency. Have you heard that before?
Yes.
Especially with 5G coming up. The 5G that they're hoping to institute.
Took a spiritual spin on it. See if this thing comes up. Why isn't it coming up? There we go. Okay, so I read this thing about how you increase your vibrational frequency. Of course, that's in the natural, but I kind of took it into a spiritual realm. I'll just read this. It says, everything in the universe is made up of energy vibrating at different frequencies. I mean, Randy and Buddy, you're musicians, and anybody else that's a musician. Have you ever seen a tuning fork? Has anybody ever seen a tuning fork?
Yeah.
What do you do? You hit it, Randy, and then it there's a frequency it gives out, right?
Correct.
Okay. So anyway, everything is made up of energy vibrating at different frequencies. Each of these levels have a vibrational frequency, which combine to create your overall vibration of being. I know that this sounds a little crazy and far, far out, but bear with me here. All vibrations operate at high frequencies or low frequencies within us and around us.
Yeah.
The big thing now is people, you know, they want to raise their natural vibrational frequencies. Nothing is wrong with that, but I'm more interested in raising my spiritual vibration frequency.
Amen.
Here's the thing. If we're tuned into God, guess what? we're in a high frequency, you know.
Yeah.
Our vibration is in, our spiritual vibration is in tune with Him.
Yes.
There's a beautiful harmony and oneness when we, our vibration is in tune with His vibration.
Yeah.
And a good example is, you know, the old radios back in the day, you had a knob you had to turn. It wasn't digital like it is today. And if you got right on that frequency, like our radio program's on 88.3 FM, but until you get right to that perfect frequency, guess what? You got a lot of static.
Yeah.
And we sometimes, I know I do, I sit down, I go, I'm going to really praise the Lord, focus on Him, and just really have some quality oneness time. And then next thing I know, man, there's static everywhere. So got to symbolically and metaphorically grab that dial and start tuning it, get it at that frequency. Another example is just music in general has a vibration to it. And Brother Eby talked about going to a symphony one time, and he said he got there early and they were warming up. And when they were warming up, it just sounded like chaos. I mean, it was just this bassoon player playing this and the violin player was playing that. It just seemed like chaos. But as soon as that conductor hit that music stand with his baton and started the music, it was beautiful and harmonious, and there was a oneness to it. And that's, you know, that's what we're talking about here with God, keeping that frequency. So, you know, just for instance, have you ever been kind of run down? Or I know Mark, he loves music like me, and all of a sudden you put on a song or whatever. It doesn't even have to be a spiritual song, although those are the best songs to put on when you're in that situation. But you may be driving down the road and all you have is the radio. And then all of a sudden you hear this song and, man, it just lifts you up. Have you all experienced that before?
Yes. Yes.
And you start feeling better. So what has happened? Your vibration was lifted. You've raised your vibration. Each seal that Jesus breaks open increases our spiritual vibration. We're going to talk about those seals in the upcoming studies. But I just took this, and this was an article I found, and I just took a spiritual spin on it. So this article talked about, this is how you raise your vibration. But of course, we're talking in the natural. It says, become conscious of your thoughts. Everything you think, say, or feel becomes your reality.
Yes.
I took it and said, become aware of daily of Christ in you, and you in Him, and the finished work of the cross.
There you go. There you go.
Amen.
Number two, if anybody has any comments on any of these, jump in. Okay, I can't see you now because I'm sharing my screen. So just jump in. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
There's a scripture that goes with that, Rich. It's, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Amen.
Yeah.
So that
what you give yourself to, you become.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I think what everybody's talking about, Rich, I think what you're talking about is focus, because when we get focused on Christ in us, that's when the harmony and everything starts coming, the peace and all that starts coming. And I want to finish up myself here. I got another poem real quick I'd like to read you. And it says, do you see your problems or your problem-solving God? Do you see the giants in the land or do you see the giant slayer? Are we seeing the disease or the healer? Do I see the financial challenges or the one who challenges my financial problems? What is it that I see? Christ, my hope of glory, or the spirit of the world, which is gory? Do I see the blood of Jesus, which was shed for the world? Paul said, it's no longer I, the self man, that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the Lord says, if we shift our eye and focus on the I am, then the world will see who I am.
Amen.
Amen. Good. Good.
Beautiful. Very good. Anybody else on one? Okay, number two. And you can come back to any of them if you want, if something comes up and you didn't get a chance to share. Number two, find something beautiful and appreciate it. And there's nothing more beautiful than the love of Jesus.
Yes.
And his grace. I mean, it doesn't get any more beautiful than that. So find something beautiful, appreciate it, and appreciate your spouse, right? The people around you, the people you come in contact to. Sometimes they don't look very beautiful, but guess what? They are. They're God's creation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anybody else on two? All right, number three, be conscious of the food you eat. Boy, I'll tell you, with this pandemic, my biggest weakness is sweets, and I'm telling Julie to lock them all up because I enjoy my sweets. It says be conscious of the food you eat, and I put down, don't eat from the wrong tree.
No.
Eat from the tree of life.
Also, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
It's a choice.
Yes.
Choose you this day.
Yep.
It's a choice.
Anybody, that's definitely in the natural, it's definitely a choice, isn't it?
And yeah, it is.
It is too, but they kind of fit, both of them are a choice. You're right. Anybody else on the foods you eat?
Well, you become what you eat. You do.
Yeah. Is that why Rich is so sweet?
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Because Julie's there.
Julie will do a sidebar on that. Okay.
Give him more Hershey bars. Mm-hmm. Julie, give him more Hershey bars.
Yeah, right. Well, we made cookies the other day, and oh my gosh, a good cookie coming out of the oven with milk. Oh, oh my gosh.
How soon we become unfocused.
Yeah, right. Okay, so drink water. I mean, I someone might have the number, the percentage, but I mean, isn't our body like 70 or 80%, 90% water or something? I don't know. But it's very, very important for us to drink, especially I've been reading stuff, whether it's true or not. It said drink hot drinks, drink water and whatever. So that's why they put that down. But I like this. It says, let him sanctify and cleanse us. Woo! Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
With the washing of the water by the word.
Yeah, so this is interesting fact. I just looked this up. 60% of the human body is water. 73% of water is the brain and the heart. The lungs, 83% water. Our skin is 64% water. Muscles and kidneys are 79% water. And our bones are 31% water.
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
A lot of water.
Okay, anybody else on number four? Number five, meditate.
There you go. There's the key.
Even the world believes that, right?
That's the key.
Yeah.
Psalms 119, 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word.
Yes.
How did Jesus say, I only say what I hear my Father say?
Yep.
I mean, Jesus obviously is our example, the prototype, and he was always focused on the Father. Period. Yeah. Always focused on the Father. And I think that's the place that God is trying to bring his people to today, Rich, is because if we're not focused on him, what are we focused on? Mm-hmm. You know?
Something that's not important normally.
Yeah, I mean, I realize we've got to work and earn a living and so on and so forth, but, you know, there's a tremendous battle going on in the spirit of the world, the spirit of the enemy, the spirit of the flesh. Focus is really, most of the word that the Lord gives me prophetically is all on focusing, and then through focusing, you'll come into a greater knowledge of Him. You'll come into a greater impartation of His nature, of His peace. But, and it's all about being still and know that I am God. It's one thing to know a lot of things about Him, but God wants His people to start experiencing Him more in their life today. I mean, real live experiencing God, just like Jesus did when He walked the earth. And again, He's the prototype. He's the one that we're to fashion ourselves after. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say, follow me, but as I follow Christ.
Yes.
And that's the whole key. When you said meditate, you struck that C chord in me, buddy.
Yeah.
The Christ chord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And because the more real He is in us, the more real He is through us to others.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yes. True.
Amen. Anybody else on number five, meditate? Okay, number six. Did anybody, I can't see you, so did someone chime in? I'm sorry if I interrupted you. Okay. All right, number six, be grateful. Before I read Colossians 3:15, the Lord just brought it to me. It's in 1 Thessalonians. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Pray without ceasing, and in all things, thank Him. That is the will of God in our lives. So Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace, boy, do we need that right now. Let the peace of God rule your hearts. If something's ruling, it's got control, right?
Amen.
To the which also ye are called in one body. I like that, that oneness, that unity, and be thankful. Not a word.
we're letting that peace rule in our heart.
Let that soak in, huh?
I'll say something here, Rich.
Okay, Mike.
You know, Kath and I have talked about it a lot lately, that this has given us the time to realize that all the things that in the world, you know, we don't need all the things that we think we do.
That's right.
And it, you know, we need to be grateful for exactly who we are and where we are and what we have. And just rest in that, because if you do that, then you come to the realization that God's in control of everything, and you can sit back and relax a little bit.
Yeah. Let Him do the work, right, Mike?
That's right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Anybody?
With all this insanity going on, and my wife in New York, and the issues with my sons and everything. My wife constantly asks me, how is it you stay so calm? And there is one thing that has happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's happened over the years, is that God has given me this patience. Our Savior has granted me a patience that I don't even understand. And when things get completely out of control, I just don't seem to get excited about it anymore for some reason. Even in the process of being here alone, and I still have this real sense of peace that I can't explain. But the whole concept of that scripture just comes home to me, and it just speaks to me so deeply in my heart.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else?
Well, hey, Randy. Randy, Rich, and I were talking about this morning. You know, it's like, you know, you realize with this pandemic that we can't control anything.
Except staying away from people.
Right, but I mean, you know, God's in control. We can't control it. And, you know, like I had a couple things going on this morning. And Rich is like, you know, there's no point to worry about stuff because it may not even come to be. And just like appreciate the moment that you're in and the time that you're in.
Oh, yeah. And I can honestly tell you that today is the day that we worried about yesterday. Yeah. And it's dramatically less worrisome, you know. And people, you know, from time to time, you know, I let myself think about things that, you know I have no control over. And I'm sure everybody's done it, you know. But I can honestly tell you, though, that just being a part of this, you know, again, has given me just a new insight, a new moment to even meditate on. So I praise God for it.
It's good.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Anybody Amen. Else?
What's the next one?
What's the next one up here? Here we go. Okay, 7, last but not least, practice acts of kindness. It's interesting the world says this because I'm really this is all stuff that Jesus talked about.
Amen.
Spiritually speaking, he did, but this is one that you can put shoe leather on, right?
Yeah.
Peter 1 says, for this very reason, applying your diligence to the divine promises, make every effort exercising your faith to develop moral excellence, knowledge, insight, understanding, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, steadfastness, and in your steadfastness, godliness, and in your godliness, here we go, in either kindness or brotherly affection, and in your brotherly affection, develop Christian love, agape. That is, learn to unselfishly seek the best for others and to do things for their benefit. For as these qualities are yours and are increasing in you as you grow towards spiritual maturity, they will keep you from being useless and unproductive in regard to the true knowledge and greater understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
We moved around it since the last time I was here. I mean, someone leave? I don't think anybody.
I don't know.
Who was up there?
No, I think everybody's still there.
That was
Jim's in a new place.
Positions moved since last time I was back. Anyway,
can't hit a moving target.
So have anything they want to share?
Rich, I believe that this time in our lives and in the life of the Creator that is still alive, that he's given us a lot of opportunities, even when we go outside of our own house, to present what is real in our lives, which is the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And I think that will bear witness to people, and people will come up and seek you out because of that peace that passes all understanding. And we are to present it as an honor to lift the name of Jesus above all names. that people might have hope. And it's not a hope for, but it's a hope being that Christ in you is all glory. And I'm so glad to see everyone on here today.
Yeah.
Because in you, I see Christ. I don't have to wait to see him. I see him.
Amen.
Alive today and doing well.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
Clyde and Debbie, send our love to Josh.
Yes.
Are you able to see him? I know they're not letting you in, right? So you have to see him from the...
Sure will. He likes to hear you guys.
What was that?
Month.
He calls us.
Okay.
He calls us.
Okay.
Do we read...
The nurse at home will allow us.
Debbie and Kai.
Yeah.
We've been sending cards to him.
He's been getting them.
All righty, because I send funny ones, and I've sent an Easter card to him, and I've been sending him cards.
He told me yesterday that he got quite a few cards.
Good.
Good. Yeah. I sent it to you too, Jim.
Yeah, I got yours. Jim, thanks, babe.
How you feeling? Jim.
I got a broken hip, but not a broken spirit.
Hey, amen.
Amen.
I'm doing good.
Good.
We're up on a cane now.
Are you still doing your rehab at home, Jim?
Don't get personal.
That's a no. Yeah.
Now, Marge, this is the... Mark, here's your chance now.
Are you the gentleman that was mentioned?
The nurse is getting touchy here.
Cover your brother's nakedness.
The caregiver.
Yeah.
Yeah, she don't care.
She. No, he doesn't get home therapy anymore. And he's on a cane. So he's making a lot of progress. He just started driving a couple days ago.
Uh-oh. Look out.
Just let me know when you're on the
streets.
And I know as long as I eat White Castles, I'll never get the virus.
That would kill anything.
But this is actually our 7th week in isolation.
Wow.
So we started the day he broke his hip, and that was the end of...
Wow.
That was it, just the two of us.
Hey, guys, can I read another poem? Read another poem?
Yeah, but wait a minute.
It's time.
Jim, Mark.
Yeah.
Share it.
Okay, I read a poem to Wings probably 5 months ago. And the poem read this way. This is interesting prophetic poem because it was read 5 months ago. It says, "It's wonderful to know and great to see the day of the Lord now dawning in thee. For the time has come to see the sun, and the time has come to unite as one. For I see a new tomorrow whose day is already come. I see a new tomorrow whose day is already sprung. I see the new beginning of which there is no end. I see a new beginning that's going to start the trend. Now there are two ways that my people can go, the way of the world, which will bring them down below, or the way of my spirit, which will lead them to know the things which are coming and the way that they should go. For the days which are here are like sinking sand, and the only way to survive them will be to be led by my hand. So covet to have the best of my ways, and know you will obtain this through prayer and through praise. For prayer will lead you in my way, and praise will support you as you face the day. And truly, I will be with you throughout all of the way." But even then, some months ago, the Lord said that the days that are ahead will be like sinking sand, and the only way to survive them will be to be led by my hand. So I'm not a doom and gloomer, because we know the end of the story. We're all victorious in him. But I'm not so sure that this is the end of the shaking, brothers and sisters. So I would say stay focused, apply everything that Rich has been teaching us here this morning, and a lot of the things that all of our hearts have been sharing. But just stay focused on the Lord and praise God. You know, King Jehoshaphat, he just gave God the praise, and the enemy just destroyed themselves in the midst of their confusion, and the people of God didn't have to do anything but stay focused and praise.
Yes, amen.
Okay, so, hey, Oscar, I've been meaning to call you about this, but, you know, the last day that we had church was Sunday, March 8th, if I'm not mistaken, and that's the day that I preached, and my word was about perseverance.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. That was a great word. I just want to read this one thing out of my sermon. The definition of perseverance is a continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. Yeah. The action or condition or an instance of persevering steadfastness. Patient endurance of hardship, persisting in a state in spite of difficulties and discouragement. And I thought that was like perfect for the time we're in right now.
Oh, that's a great word.
Amen.
Okay. Does anybody else have anything?
Can I say something?
Yes, sir.
Well, when you had when grateful was part of that before, we all have our moments when God checks us and helps us to be grateful again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, only God has the ability to check the whole United States at the same time.
Yes.
And to help them to realize that, number one, I'm grateful that I'm alive.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I'm grateful that the people I love are alive.
Yeah.
And then it just keeps going from there. Right. So only he could cut out sports, mm-hmm. and entertainment for the most part, and places to go, yes. and things to do, to help us all kind of realize how grateful we should be for all that we have and for who he is.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Good word.
Yes.
God is great, and let's be full of him.
Yes.
Yep.
Dad, I think we'll be grateful for everything around us and those around us. And we'll do everything that he desires for us to do, and we'll be a blessing to everyone.
Amen.
And we need to be full of him.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. Anybody else? I'm going to ask y'all to do something. You probably don't. No, you want to do it. I know everybody on the call, and y'all want to do it. I'd like to praise the Lord in song before we close. So. Would someone come up with a song that that we can all sing that we all probably know? And I'll mute Julie's microphone.
Ha ha.
Oh, no.
That wasn't nice.
I was going to offer to sing a song myself, but if you guys want to sing, go ahead.
Sure you were.
Yeah. Oh, Mark. Gonna sing by himself. Go ahead, Mark.
Mark, you're doing a special, huh?
You're doing a solo. That's right.
What was all them S's that Mark didn't do, Margaret? Sell, sing, or swim.
Hey, Jim, why don't you lead a trip? It's a long time. It's time to celebrate Jesus.
Oh, okay.
We haven't heard that in a long time, and it's a great song. And if you don't know it, you can easily pick up on it.
On the count of three. One, two, three. It's time to celebrate Jesus. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Jesus
is come. Lift your hands and sing. Celebrate Jesus, for he is Lord.
One more time.
It's time to celebrate Jesus. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Jesus is worthy, so lift your hands and sing. Let's celebrate Jesus, for he is Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
He is worthy. Well, praise the Lord. Love y'all. Pastor, you have any parting shots? You want to go ahead and say?
You know, I just appreciate seeing you all today, and glad you're all doing well, and we'll keep you all in our prayers, and we'll get back together again.
Yeah.
More, you know, it was great to do this morning. It was great.
I agree. It was.
Brother, yeah. God, would you like to close us in prayer?
Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that we know you. And we certainly all trust you that, Lord, you're the King of kings, Lord. The Lord of lords. Have your way in every household, in every neighborhood, in every family.
Yes.
Because, Father, it's all about you. And, Father, we give you the glory. We give you the honor. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yeah.
They all said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Love
you. Catch you guys.
Yes, we'll do it again next week. All right.
Sounds good.
All right.
Okay. Be blessed. Happy Easter.
Yep.
Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Day.
Amen.
Yep. Everybody, take care.
Bye.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, Cass.
Yeah.
Did you see behind me?
I told Mike, I said, boy, that's a lovely hutch. Love you guys.
Love you too. Bye. Bye-bye. Love you too.
Bye, Randy.
Bye-bye.
Bye, bye, buddy. And bye. Brenda.
Bye.
Bye, Oscar.
Bye.
Keep plucking. Keep plucking.
Joey.
Kathy and Mike.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye. Man. We're out.